The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
I'm preaching on evangelism as your gratitude. Evangelism as your gratitude. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I take it again. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We started hearing years ago that Jesus came to die for humanity, shed his blood to cleanse our sins, rose up from the dead for our justification, and today he's ascended into the heavens and seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions and pleading on our behalf that God will both hear our prayers, God will hear our confessions, and that God will accept us in terms of any sacrifice in our lives, so that one day when we leave the earth and we are called to be before the throne of God, we would have had a place prepared for us by the Most High God. It is for this reason that at a point in time, your life, my life, was touched. We were lost in sin. We didn't know where we were going. Somehow we heard the message of salvation. Somebody came to preach to us. And somebody persuaded us. Somebody persuaded us that Jesus saves. Amen. Can I hear an amen from somebody? And told us that we do not know when Christ is coming back. And we do not know when we will die. And that it's important for us to get ready, because God could call us at any time. When a man would die, we don't normally know. And therefore, the wisest thing for you is to be prepared, so that if Christ should come back again, as the trumpet will blow and take away his own, you will not be left behind. If we are left behind, there'll be the period of the tribulation and the great tribulation. It will be followed by serious sufferings that you have never imagined when you read the book of Revelations. Difficulties, untold hardships. And at the end, if you want to be with the saints who have been taken to heaven, you must stand your grounds, you must prevail and be a martyr. Literally, you stand for Christ to be killed. So it is simpler and easier to accept Christ now and to follow the Word of God, so that you are ready, and when he comes back, then we go. Am I making sense to somebody? Now, like I said at the beginning, we started hearing that, oh, Jesus will come back again. He will come back soon. And we have heard that he died over 2,000 years ago. And people keep asking, when will he come back? Is the Jesus not coming back? When I started hearing it, I was a very young man, just going past the teens, and I started hearing this. Now I'm a grown man, and he has still not arrived. This scripture is explaining to us why it has delayed, and that you do not take the delayance of God in this respect for granted. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The word slack means slow. God is not slack. If any man is fast, no man is faster than God. He is very sharp and quick. But concerning this, there's a reason why it seems like he's being slow. The Amplified Bible says, the Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient. Extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is not slow as some people think slowness is. But God can be smart, quick. He can make the earth open up. When there was rebellion against Moses and the ground could swallow them instantly. I mean, God is smart. He can make hailstones fall from the sky so that Joshua will win his battle. God is fast. Herod sat on a throne and he was telling people he was God. God struck him dead. And although he was not rotten, worms ate him there fast. God is not slow, but he's extraordinarily patient, so that he will give opportunity to as many as will repent. In this period that God is holding back, God expects the church to go out and spread the gospel. The spreading of the gospel by personal witness or by public preaching is what is known as evangelism. The spreading of the gospel by personal witness or by public preaching is what is known as evangelism. Who is a witness? A witness is one who was in a place and either saw a thing or has experienced a thing. Maybe there was an accident on the highway and only one person was there. That person is the witness. If there were 30 people there before the accident, all those 30 people are witnesses. If somebody had a party and a number of guests attended and service was amazing, and there was so much to eat and there was so much to carry away, those who came to the party are those who are qualified to be witnesses. They can share about that and tell us how the crowd was and how the arrangement of the people were and how service went and how satisfied everybody was and how much was left and how much was taken away. That is a witness. The Bible says, by reason of the fact that you have given your life to Jesus, that is, if you have, you have become a witness of Christ. Oh, I think you should clap. You're a witness of Christ. John wrote and said, that which we have seen, that which we have handled, and that which we have tasted, bring we that gospel to you. In other words, there's a certain experience of salvation, of the cleansing of our sins, of our sanctification, of our purification, of our separation unto God, and being filled with eternal life and enlightenment of God with new understanding, so that we can move out and share of what God has done in our lives. Many times after salvation, we get trapped in the desires to have blessings. And then as we start getting blessings, we forget that there are others in the world that God does not want to perish. And that the reason for which Christ built the church and left was that the church will be the organ that will propagate the gospel, that will preach the gospel, that will further the gospel into the areas where they have not heard it. And for even those who have heard it and have not embraced the word of God, this word is supposed to be taken to them so that they will make a decision at a point in time to follow Christ with all their hearts. Oh, shout a better amen. If we sit down and do not go out, then we are failing to honor the Great Commission. If we sit down and do not go out, then we are literally disobeying God. If you look at John 15:16, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen and ordained that you will go out and bear fruit, that your fruit will remain. The following sentence is, so that when you ask me anything, I would do it for you. So that the rate at which your prayers are answered is tied up to your evangelism. Many times we bind ancestral spirits, which is fine. But maybe in some cases, the demons we are binding are the demons which are preventing us from preaching. The delay to our answered prayers may be a result of we failing to take the gospel, to bear fruit, and to make our fruit remain. Can I hear a solid amen from somebody? The Bible says you must preach in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the utmost part of the world. God chose these words carefully because they were in Jerusalem and their nearest constituency was the people there. Then the next constituency was Judea. Then the next was Samaria. And then the rest of the world. It is your duty as a parent to get your household converted to Christ. You can't bring forth and leave some to be cocaine users and marijuana addicts. You can't bring forth and leave them to be thieves and robbers in our community. You can't bring forth and leave them to be bringing forth all over the globe without any commitment to them. And I will always thank God for my mother, that she had 6 boys and she led them all to the house of God and she led them to Christ. Oh, I think you must clap. These are the things you clap about. These are the miracles. The Jesus met this woman at the well. Jesus and his disciples were hungry. Jesus and his disciples were hungry. And the disciples said they were going to look for food. Jesus said, I'll stay behind. And he did. And there was this woman who came to fetch water. And Jesus prophetically told her everything about herself. And she was amazed. From there, she ran into the city and said, come and see a man. That was all she said. That was all she said. Can I hear an amen? Oh, shout a better amen, somebody. She said, come and see a man. In other words, come and see a prophet. Come and see an anointed person. She didn't know whom the person was, but she figured that the person had something to do with her generation. And so she said, come and see a man. That was her testimony. Everybody here has a testimony. Tell the next person, you have a testimony. You have a testimony. Apostle Paul's testimony was simply that he was riding on the back of a horse. He was headed to a place to get letters of authorization to come and persecute the Jewish Christians. And at a stage, he met Jesus. He encountered Jesus and fell down from the back of the horse. A bright light shone into his eyes. He became blind. He heard the voice of Jesus saying that, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? Don't you know that it's difficult to kick against the pricks of the thorns, and that all that you are doing, you are working against me? Nobody could stop Saul in his time. Nobody could persuade Saul. He was working zealously in what he believed, but he was wrong. There are people today who are working zealously in a certain direction, but they are just simply wrong. And one day the light of God will fall into their lives. Their eyes will open and they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Let's put our hands together for that. My testimony I've shared many times, and I will still do. And that is what you must be doing about your testimony, your witness. That is the first message before we learn things about the Romans Road and all those things, the ABC of salvation. The basic one is you are a witness. You have a testimony, and you must share the testimony to win souls for Christ and let them follow you to church so they will be established and they will abide in the house of God. So mine was simple. I was having my own life. Never thought I would be a pastor. I knew I was a good businessman because I could persuade people to buy some products. I was working in an uncle's business. And we could take products to Makola Market and persuade them to buy those new products that had come to the market. And they'll buy. So for me, I was looking forward to one day that I'll be a good businessman. Not knowing God had other plans for me. I didn't hear an amen. So one day I went to write A-level exams. I had previously written one, and I thought that this one, having given my life to Jesus Christ, is now Coco and is now Benzi. So I thought, oh, as for this, with Jesus in your boat. Oh, you are not responding. With Jesus in your boat, you will smile at the storm. So, but God has a way of testing what is in your heart. Are you following me because of manna? Or you are following me because you love me? So I was going to write this exam. And then unfortunately, I went to the wrong exam center. In those days, transportation and the road network were difficult in Accra. So the exam center I went to was the wrong center. And I was redirected. They should have given me a paper to write there. But they didn't. And I had to board a vehicle. In those days, there were no spare parts, so vehicles had broken down, and there were few. By the time I got a vehicle and arrived at the right center, the paper was almost ending. I felt so disillusioned that another year down the drain, I will not enter university. How? I came back home and I found myself under an ironing table. Have you seen an ironing table? I don't know how I squeezed myself under an ironing table. But I was seated there when my mother came and said, "Tete, you are coming with me to church tonight." I followed sheepishly and I went to church. The preacher preached. He was very anointed, very prophetic. Those days, prophetic gifts were few. And when he finished, there was no altar call. So I raised my hand up. And then they prompted the leadership that somebody was ready. So I walked to the front and I said the sinner's prayer at the altar. And from that day, I wrote the next exam. I passed. You are not clapping. You people, you are not good witnesses at all. Look, you cannot market the kingdom of God. So after that, I started going to church. It wasn't interesting. It wasn't pleasant because two worlds apart. Now I had to transition. Now I had to adjust. Now I had to accept ways the church did their things. That they came and started praying to us, Makatuya Breke Batua. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what they were saying. Then that church, they preach in Ga and in Tree and interpreted in Ga or vice versa. Yesu moja dishinu. Ema dankwa. I said I couldn't feel anything. But I sat through. Church, when you get converted and you start the Christian life, just stay a little longer. Things will become more meaningful to you. Then one day we were having conversation. There was a guy who was near me. And this guy loved the Lord. And the hand of God was upon him mightily. And I asked how many years he had been in the faith. He said he had been in the faith for 3 years and doesn't miss weekend or weeknight services. And he says that that has augmented and helped his growth considerably. So I decided that I won't miss weeknight services and I won't miss Sunday morning services as well. As time went on, I realized God began to show some things to me. And God's call came upon my life. By the time I was the same, number of years in the Lord, like that gentleman, the Lord had placed his hand upon me and called me into ministry. Oh, let's give praise to God. I didn't desire for it. I didn't pray for it. I didn't ask for it. I was just serving in the house of God, doing my dawn broadcast, testifying, being a witness, preaching in vehicles, buses, taxis, whichever vehicle I took, I preached in it. One time I was preaching when Brother Felix met me, because we were in the same chair, and he met me on the bus and he said, "No, this young man must be supported." So he was working at that time, and every Sunday he passed an envelope into my hand so that I'll have enough money to board the next vehicle to go and preach. when I finish preaching, sometimes they will throw monies at me. I collected it and give it to the next beggar. Because that was not my need. And that was not my desire. I never took any money home. Never. So I get excited when I see young men board a bus that is from here to Suhum in Sawam. And they start preaching and then they start collecting money and then they get off the bus and go. I say, you are collecting your blessings where you are. You are collecting all. There's no glory left with God for you. So gradually we stayed in the faith and God has brought us this far. Can we clap thanking God for our lives? The same exams that limited me, I passed it and passed and passed and went on. And I became a lecturer in the university at a point in time. You should clap. You should clap. Oh, I don't like you. You're not clapping well. All my mates and friends, those I was in A-level with, more than 90% live in the West. Because some forged that they were top athletes in the greater Accra region. And that some of them said that as of 400 meters flat, if you put them in the race, they will win. Then they were admitted to the universities and they couldn't even do 100 meters flat. So the universities started wisening up and they said they won't admit Ghanaian applicants because they were not being sincere and honest. So some of us were left behind, they were gone. But today, by the grace of God, God is taking us. He's not done yet. Round the world. Okay, you're not clapping. The people here are not clapping. The people at the far back. As for the outside, I can't see anything. So they had connections. They could get documents, genuine or not genuine. And they started traveling. And those days, if a person traveled and took a picture in front of those houses, you say, wow, Igbaming. But tell somebody next to you, your time will soon come. Your time will soon. God is not slack concerning his promises that he will come back again. He's not slack concerning his promises that he gave to Abraham that he will have a child. God is not slack. So, your testimony must simply be your witness. So you are telling somebody about how your life was touched and how you were changed. And I could share this in any university and they will not be bored because the way I will share it, they will be interested. Some people think when they come to Christ, then they will lose their taste of dressing. You get to know better, so you dress better. Okay, let me hear amen. So, the Bible is simply saying that, look, God is not slack. And that the reason why God, Jesus, built the church was that we must continue with the good news. So let me give you some reasons why God seems slow. Number one, it is God's desire that no man should perish. That's one. Number two, that his saving knowledge will reach as many. Number three, that all will experience abundant life in Christ Jesus. And number four, I'll dwell on it a little bit, is God's desire that we must escape hell and make it to heaven. That we must escape hell and make it to heaven. And the fifth one is that is God's desire that you must win souls so you are blessed. You must win souls so you are blessed. Let me go back to the point four. That it is the desire of God that we must escape hell and make it to heaven. Somebody lost his job and had five children. Then his rent was due. He couldn't pay it. And he was kicked out of the house. The same person could not afford meals for himself nor for the family. And the same person could not afford any means of transportation. And friends rejected him. The kind of difficulties they went through the next 2 years, you cannot imagine. I'm telling you that if they went through such difficulties for 2 years, this is smaller than 1 millionth of the suffering in hell. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a free citizenship in any country, and there are prisons. Am I not speaking the truth? To say that there are no prisons means to deny the real existence of prisons. The word hell is not our creation. If you go to the book of Revelation, it talks about how hell and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And if you go and check the temperature at which that lake of fire made of brimstone burns, you will know it burns much higher than hot water. And this is a place where people will be screaming. They'll be shouting. They would wish that this thing will pass. So they will transition into another place, and the Bible says it cannot change. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, no purgatory. Nobody can pray for you to change when you die. You are wasting your time. It's on scripture, and God does not answer such unnecessary prayers. We don't pray for the dead. We pray for the living. We pray for the living. We don't pray for the dead. We pray for the living. And we pray for the family of the living. Since my mother died, I have not said a prayer there. Since my older brother died, I've not said a prayer there. You are to intercede for them while they are alive. The power to change where they are is beyond you after they die. I spoke to somebody yesterday and she said, I've been praying for my husband that heaven will receive him. And the husband died 5 years ago. And still praying that heaven will receive him, that the earth will be. As for the earth, when you dig, it will not reject it. It will take it. Have you seen the earth rejecting dead? But no, the earth will take it. Because from dust you were raised. And dust you are returning. Listen to the book of Ecclesiastes. It says what? That the body returns to the earth and the spirit returns to the creator who gave it. This is it. Well, Jesus went around for 40 days so that he would reveal himself. So people will have first-hand information that the Messiah that was killed is risen. And after that he ascended. I am not Jesus. And I don't have a 40-day ministry here. My mother hasn't got a 40-day ministry here. My brother hasn't got a 40 days ministry. And so your relatives who are gone. So it's appointed unto man once to die. After that judgment, straight, the body returns to the earth where it came from, and the spirit to the creator who gave it, period. So, as a minister of God, we don't say this when somebody has lost a relative. But I can tell you now the truth. But we go and pray and thank God for the life of the person. God gave the person life to live on earth. For lives the person touched, and possibly for families the person raised or didn't raise. And for which we say, God, it was an honor to have our paths crossing this person's path. Then we pray for the living family, so such a thing will not recur and another life will be cut short. I think an amen should be there. Any priest who promises you that you give an offering and he can pray to change it will be judged one day. Now, there's a preacher. About 34 years ago, I got to know him in the U.S. And I got to know him through television ministry. He had such a vibrant church. Had over 2,000 members at that time, and he was fairly young. So this man must have been in his early 30s, and he was a musician, and he will get off his seat and sing with the choir, and when he's done, he will move into the pulpit and preach. And I said, this man is multi-talented. Very lovely, handsome young man who was preaching the gospel and making impact on American television in his early 30s. I mean, he was a person to admire. Then much later, about 20 years down the line, he preached a message that got everybody leaving his church. He said, he preached what we call a gospel of inclusiveness. He said there was no hell. And he said that homosexuals were accepted in heaven. And his congregation started leaving. Other colleagues of his tried to talk to him. It didn't work. He led a team to the White House to persuade that they would be accepted. A team of LGBTIQII. He led them to the White House so that they will be represented and accepted those years. And even the ordinary members in his church who had read the word realized their pastor was in error. And their pastor was into apostasy. They started leaving the church. The huge auditorium people got finished until he could not pay light bills. He could not pay for gas that was used in heating. He could not pay property bills. He could not pay anything. And the church was shut down. I read about him. He went to live in penury. He didn't have anything. He was accepted in another small church. And it didn't work out for him because he didn't repent on the thing. I was reading about him on Saturday night, and I realized he died last month at the age of 70. I felt sad. My Saturday night, for 3 hours, I was quiet. And I said, how could a man be so blessed and be so unwise that he will preach a message for which even ordinary people will reject him in the faith. Paul said, after I've preached this gospel to you, even if an angel or me comes back and preaches another gospel to you, call him accursed, because he's not preaching the truth. Put your hands together. Let's clap. In other words, Paul is saying that if I've preached about tithes and offerings and I've left and I come back and I preach another thing to you, no, don't accept it. Call me accursed, even if an angel was standing by my side. The Bible says in the last chapter, about the last verse in the book of Revelation, anybody who adds to anything of this book, the plagues of this book shall be added to him. And anybody who takes away out of this book anything that God has written, his name shall be taken out of the book of life. Before I preach, I have to cross-check my facts. I don't want my name to be taken out. And I don't want the plagues of this book to be added to me. You'll find that some families in their lineage will suffer because of one false preacher. Except somebody stands to pray and seek the mercies of God, down the lineage there will be suffering, strugglings, and all kinds of curses. May God have mercy on us. If you believe that, put your hands together. When I was young, we went to a funeral, and a young guy who was one of us, he was about 24, he died. When he died, his colleagues came, they were friends, and they came to honor him, and they put a stick of cigarette on his lips and say, yeah, kotia nu asheli ya jamina amena. Shelimo Paul Mole, Shelimo. It's not Paul Mole, it's Pall Mall. Sometimes the company to which you belong, when you are no more, they come and display the negative things. The question that you and I every day have to assess is, are we ready to go? If we are not ready, then let us do our best and plead with God. We went through. Thank you. Thank you. We went through 30 days of consecration to get closer to God. It would be nice in your own time to pick some days, even if it's 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, to draw closer to God. So when the church declares a fast, join it. One person in the Bible was called an evangelist. I want to end with that. And this man was Philip. There was a Philip in the midst of the disciples of Jesus. That is not the one. He went to invite Nathanael, John 1:43. So he was the disciple that saw Christ and went to invite Nathanael and brought him to Christ. And Nathanael came to remain. Then we have another Philip in Acts chapter 6. He was one of the seven deacons who were chosen to serve tables in the church. So he was one of the original seven deacons selected to serve in the church of Jerusalem. Philip has been described as both an evangelist and a deacon. In Acts chapter 8, he was the one whom, at the height of the persecution of the church, left Jerusalem and encountered this man. He went to Samaria and encountered the Ethiopian eunuch. He met him. And in Acts 8 from 26 to 29, in the end, the Ethiopian eunuch was saved after Philip invited him to Christ. Philip saw him reading and he stood by the man's chariot because he was a wealthy Ethiopian eunuch. And he said, do you understand what you are reading? Sometimes we all don't understand. That's why God has anointed teachers and pastors and people of the other fivefold ministry to explain to us what the whole thing is about. After Philip, the evangelist, the deacon, explained things to him, the man became convinced and gave his life to Christ. Then, was it the man who said, "This is water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And the man had baptism of water there and then. This Ethiopian eunuch with his array of attire, amazing regalia, dressed well, was probably ready to undress and be left with his swimsuit and be immersed in water. I want you to know God has called us to preach the gospel. And today, I'm instituting that before the end of this month, starting from next week, each of us will bring one person. Oh, you should say amen. Shout amen. You must evangelize to one person, witness to one person, share about Christ, share about your experience of salvation, and bring the person to the house of God. Invite the person so that that fruit will remain. I finished my message. May I ask you to please rise on your feet? We're going to go through a short period of prayer, very important prayer. I want you to pray passionately. Very, very passionately. I want to pray from your heart. The first prayer is that God will anoint you as a vessel, make you a spokesperson for the kingdom, that you will go out into the world protected by his presence, covered by the blood, to go share the message of salvation, that the witness of God, conviction of the Holy Spirit shall fall upon their hearts, that they will receive Christ. Shall we pray that the Lord will anoint you? Ya mama, lift up your voice. Bikandoro brosh telerebekeye. Ayenere mekia sosto yo brosh telerebabandiri bikia. Ya mama ndiri bikaya bras telerebabandarabakaya. Ya mama ndiri bikaya bras telerebabandarabakaya. Bia sosto bro komondi kingre kete yebre botu agbata ya bafa rababadu kataya. Ayenere besia bataya mia tonna kaya brash telere babandere be yama manduri busu yo brosh telere babakaya mikon lara bazala rabakaya yama mandi kimi sustaya. Oh, lift up your voice. I release the power of God. I release the anointing of God to fall upon you. I release the grace of God to empower you and to equip you with wisdom and understanding, that the stirrings of God shall fall upon your life, that God shall lead you and guide you into places where the gospel has to be preached, that you will be an amazing witness for God. You'll be a cutting edge of the Lord, that you will preach and people will be called to salvation and to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The second prayer is that there are people in our homes who are not born again. And the saddest thing is to leave somebody in your home to die and possibly to go to hell. It's very sad. I thank God for my mother. If any of your children, grandchildren, relatives, great-grandchildren, siblings are not born again, aunties, cousins, we're going to raise prayer. The Bible says that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I want you to pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Come on, pray. Pray that the blindness that Satan has put on them shall be taken away. Pray that the lack of understanding shall roll away. Pray that the power of the gospel shall permeate the understanding. That the saving knowledge shall be the grace from which they shall benefit. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the Spirit of God would drive them into church. May the hand of God be released now. May the anointing of the Holy Ghost be released now. Oh, let people be saved massively in our homes and our communities. Alindo sora bakaya brakabazile rebe ibanana mikili malagada ikorobo shadabalibri kili malagada ibanana bakaya brakabazaya intero silibri kili malagada adili kristu kando sheneni mikili baranda limikili malua kosia intula makalindo suni mikili magada rasonda malikrano kuriba kristi intopoko reketundi makia parando ko salibria dimaha kelendo ko silibato intando ko selimalindo sabaha halikando salima kriya kundi bili wakosa intana nimili wadehe yatando shene nimili magadaya Kabantoni mikiba lagada. Deacon Fifi, I like your shirt and tie. You know we have to talk after service very briefly. Oh, it's on your honor. Mama, we talk about coffee in a kind.